In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, on the second Sunday of Advent, you already know that we're getting ready to engage within the Advent mission that begins tonight. Father Frederick Gruber, who is our deacon today, will be offering us a beautiful talk on Our Lady, leading up toward the Immaculate Defense that ultimately culminates in her Immaculate Conception, going through these Marian dogmas here within our parish. After Mass, I know you're all excited to be able to feast upon the bread from heaven, but afterwards we'll give you some bread from earth over at the Catholic Center for those of you who wish to partake in a meal afterwards. So that'll be at the Catholic Center immediately after this Mass, which is here. But then don't tarry too long, because we have to come back for the confessions as well as for the great meal that is going to be the talk that Father Frederick Gruber has prepared long and hard for us today. The schedule is of slight change for those of you who weren't here for the other masses to know. The schedule has been changed where the talk begins every night, not at 7:30 p.m., but at 7 p.m., and everything else is just squeezed in between so that we can run more efficiently toward that end. Please do keep Father Francisco Carvajal of Portales in prayer, as he has come down with the present affliction and so is incapacitated, and Father Sotero Sena is covering for him in the meantime. Again, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, our Mass times are correct in the bulletin and incorrect on the posters, which have been defaced so that they actually give the right times. So 7 a.m. Mass for the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, then we have 5:30 p.m. Mass that evening. And if you want to go to the Mass beforehand, which does indeed count for the Holy Day of Obligation, it will again be at 5:30 on Tuesday. 5:30 on Tuesday, remember, is a Holy Day of Obligation where we get to go to Mass, but if you don't take advantage of that opportunity, then you'll take advantage of it again one more time in the confessional. But don't soil your soul. You'll hear that often from Father Gruber during his talk, to be more like Our Lady. Now for the readings. The epistle comes from the Blessed Paul, the Apostle to the Romans, saying, "Brethren, what things soever were written for our learning, that through patience and the comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. Now the God of all patience and of comfort, may he grant you to be one of mind towards one another, according to Jesus Christ, that with the one mind and with one mouth you may glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive one another, as Christ also hath received you unto the honor of God. For I say that Christ Jesus was minister of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, but that the Gentiles are to glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, Therefore I will confess to thee, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and will sing to thy name. Again he saith, Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people, and again praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and magnify him, all ye people. And again saith Isaiah, There shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise up to rule the Gentiles in him. The Gentiles shall hope. Now the God of hope, may he fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope and in that power of the Holy Ghost." And this concludes the epistle of the Apostle Paul to the Romans. Please stand for a continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. At that time, when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, sending two of his disciples, he said to him, "Art thou he that art to come, or are we to look for another?" And Jesus, making answer, said unto him, "Go ye and relate unto John what you have heard and what you have seen. The blind see, the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead rise again, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he that shall not be scandalized in me." And when they went their way, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, "What went out you to see out into that desert? A reed shaken by the wind? But what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Behold, they that are clothed in soft garments are in the houses of kings. But what went out you to see? A prophet? Yea, I tell you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I shall send my angel before thy face, who shall prepare thy way before thee." Thus concludes the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we have this great privilege of being able to have this Mass with you and for you. Here within our readings and within the whole of the Church, we see something which is great, which is offered to us. One resounding plea, one resounding call that goes over to us over and over again. Did you catch it here within the Scriptures that we have here? The reason for the season we have within the Advent candles, which are here, they represent for us a number of themes which resonate throughout the whole of the season of Lent, this beautiful devotion that we have. First, we are to have faith. But second, the candle is that which represents what? Do you recall from this morning's lighting of the Advent wreath? Was it peace? Good. Because that is not what the theme of the Mass is. It is actually hope. Today is the weekend of hope, where hope resounds all throughout the readings that we are spoken to us here upon this time, where it's all about our need to engage desperately in the great gift that God gives us in hope, the second of the theological virtues, which is oh so important. You see, the virtue of hope, as we've spoken upon on many occasions, speaks to us of really what it is that we're yearning for, that we're longing for, that we're, as the old ancient Christmas hymn says, that we pine for at this time. We pine for the coming of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, who comes out to you and me as the Christ child. That he comes to us in that small package, and we're to prepare ourselves a way for him to get in by opening up those small areas within our souls which have been crowded out by sin, by desires for the things of this world, as Father spoke about us in this morning's Mass, to have that despicere tere, this despising of the things of the world. And turning ourselves away from the things of the world, we can have that amare celestia, that love of the things of heaven. Love of the things of heaven. To despise the world and to love those things which are indeed of God in heaven. But to even get to that point where we can even begin to make that first move, you see, to despise the things of the world as worldlings, all we have if we're a worldling in this life are the things of the flesh, the things of the world, the things that we are able to touch, to taste, to sense, to smell, all these things which appeal to our senses. How can we even begin to look to something which is greater if we have not this theological virtue of hope? Hope is that virtue which reminds us that these things which we touch, which we taste, which we smell, are not the end of our lives. Only the Christian is able to have that virtue of hope to get beyond these things. When you look to your friends out within the world, when you look to those people that you see out in the streets, we see them plying themselves with copious vivendas, becoming borrachos on the side of the street, or those who give themselves to the carnal desires and think that that has to be the end of their lives, or they give themselves to the seeking of success, of making themselves great and powerful in this way. It makes no sense to speak to them of anything, of the thing of the world that is to come, because they don't even believe that if there is that sort of thing that they could even achieve it. It's because they have not hope. What does the theological virtue of hope lend you and I toward? Hope is this, as St. Thomas Aquinas puts for us. Hope is that movement of daring that wells up within the soul that says there is a good which is out there, a good which is beyond this present right here. It doesn't just recognize that there is good in the world, but it says that there is good which is out there that is indeed possible for me to achieve. Something which is in the future that I dare to move toward, that I can receive. Most people in the world, sadly, so many people here within the church, God willing, not any of you who are here today, have the contrary movement of the soul, which is against hope. You remember what that is, right? We speak about that as well. It's so easy when the world and its horrors attack us, when the disappointments of this present life hit us, when the sadness and mourning keep to push us away from everything which is good within our lives, and it seems that everything that we bite upon is nothing but ashen. That is when the soul, which turns against hope, sees that, yes, there is a future good which is out there, and I would love to take possession of it. Yes, it is out there for me, and it's just beyond my grasp. But there ain't no way I'm ever going to get to it. And so because it's a good there that's necessary for me, that I must have, I'm never going to get it. I can't see how possible it is for me to achieve that. I go away in despair. Despair is the contrary to that of hope, the theological virtue. What does hope seek to grasp because it is a theological virtue? Is not anything within this life. Woe be to the man or woman who finds their hope in this present life, because it cannot be found here. Brothers and sisters, there is not a single thing within this world which you are made for. You are made for something so much greater, so much far beyond. Because every pleasure which you've had within your life ultimately has a telos which ends in this present way of living. As it says within the other place in the Gospel of Matthew, it says, set not your hearts upon things which are here below, which moth and rust find decay, where thieves can break in and steal from you. But rather, he says, place your hope upon those things which moth and rust cannot destroy, where thieves indeed cannot break in and steal. On things above. For where your treasure is, that is where your heart is. In this present world, there's not a single thing that should lay hold on things for your heart. Because you're made for so much more. Even the great love, as we have so many couples who are here who are sealed within that bond of holy matrimony. Something that we tell couples as they're preparing for marriage, if you think that that man next to you is going to complete you, you're in for a world of hurt. If you think that that beautiful woman who is next to you right there, who you're ready to enter into solemn vows with, is going to complete you, you're always going to be empty. But the only thing that completes you is actually the attainment of God Himself. Of God Himself. St. Augustine speaks of that so beautifully, and we say it often from this pulpit, do we not? We say, your hearts will be ever restless until you find rest, until the soul finds rest in thee, the love ever ancient, the love ever new. You are made for God Himself. And so, to set your sight upon those things which are beyond this present, which only have a continuance of travail of tears. So to hold onto our Lord during this Advent season with a sense of hope. That there is salvation which is possible for you and me. Some of you come here today because you're worried about a family member or a friend. Because you're worried about a son or a daughter. Maybe it's even a husband or a spouse, a wife who is there, somebody who is dear to you, who has gone the difficult way and is not turning back toward the easy way, which is to find our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, seeking Him most perfectly through His most immaculate mother who is here with us. And so, are piling up upon them many, many difficulties. And so because of that, seeing them falling steeper and steeper into the gradual sins, immersing themselves in the pleasures of this life, they find, if this is it, it's spent. I go through it, and then it leads to nothing beyond this. What is my life? I've gone so far off the path, maybe I can't even make it. And so it is for you to make that act for them. To make a profound act, even here within this Mass, hope for them. You see, hope is an individual virtue. One can only very well be hope for themselves, right? You cannot hope for somebody else to achieve something which is great unless you are bound to them by charity. So if you truly love another person, what that means is that you see yourselves as inseparable from one another. Charity is the virtue which is where I will the very good for the other person right there. So willing good for them, I see that I in them cannot be separated because our ends must go toward the same end. And so when you love another person, a spouse, a family member, a child, a dear one, then you see that there's nothing between you, and so you can hope with them, and so be a partner in hope for them to make it unto that end. I would like to make that proposition to you today as you hear within this Mass. Beauty of the traditional Latin Mass is that absolutely nothing within this liturgy depends upon you who are praying in the pews. That's good. You can rest and relax. Just be with God and witness what He does for you. But there is an opportunity for you. That thing which you see that maybe is too far for maybe you, maybe you're tempted toward despair today. Or maybe it's because of a family member of yours who is not going in the right direction, or somebody that you love who's rejected the sacraments. The men in the sanctuary today can testify that I am deeply harmed today. Because sometime between the end of the last Mass and us arriving here, somebody rejected the sacraments, even upon their deathbed. Dear, dear sadness. Tell you what I'm going to do, and what I'm urging you to do in the same way. To place whatever person you see tending toward a rejection of God. Maybe cannot have that hope, sees that there is a future good out there, which is salvation, God's love for them, the greatest thing within the universe, the acceptance of the Christ child in their lives as something which is beyond them and can never reach out to them. May themselves turn themselves away from Him, even in the last moments. I urge you to do something which is far beyond, to unite yourself to that person in love and charity, and then join them in a hope, saying that it is possible. By the simple act and profound grace-giving gift, which is to place them within the chalice. Place that person, place that intention, place that situation in the most precious blood of our blessed Lord Jesus as He is there lifted up for your adoration, saying, God, I believe You're there. I hope in Your salvation. I love You. And I ask pardon for those who do not believe in You, those who do not hope in You, those who do not love You. Particularly for this one, call them out by name within your soul. And see what God indeed does through you, hoping on their behalf, united by the bond of charity. This is what this Advent day is all about. And here's how we bring it back to the Scriptures. St. John the Baptist was in total despair in our Gospel. He was in darkness. He was locked out. He saw that his whole life and ministry flashed before him, and he was wondering if he was ever going to get out. He knew that maybe he wasn't going to get out. He felt that he himself would lose his life here within this dank, dark prison. The thoughts of doubt began to creep within him, and he was nigh despair, thinking, cousin, are you really the Christ? Or should I look for another one? Has my life been thinking that I was the voice calling out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, and he wasn't the Lord? And so in that darkness, what does he do? Nigh despairing, John the Baptist, thanks be to God, had others who were visiting him in prison, visiting him in his despair. They said, yeah, we'll take that request to him. We'll ask him. It will bring back to you whatever it is that he says. Those friends frantically searching for the Lord, saying, our master cannot die in this state. Let us be the consolation that he needs. We love him and so are united to him by this bond of charity. We are hoping that he will give us a word that will bring joy once again to our dear master John. And he gives them the exact word that needs there. Tell them what you see. Tell him what you yourselves are witness to. When they returned to John, filled him with joy, and he was able to testify with his very last breath to who the Christ is, without falling into that despair, without giving in to those so human movements that move us away and say, is this even worth it? There's a John the Baptist in your life. You're called to be the friend who is to go to Christ. You're here at the Mass. He's there in the tabernacle. If you're prepared, you'll receive him. And receive whatever word it is there, and you tell them what it is that you see here that is the cause and the reason for hope. Dear brethren, what God has begun in you this day, here in hope, may he carry out to the fullness of his completion on the day of Christ Jesus the Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.